The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Everything.
This is like going Brady Quinn in round one. This is like going
Cleveland
Farrell in round one. This is like going Henry Ruggs ahead of CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson.
I'm taking my cue from the Raiders. Why not?
Well,
let me say this. DK Metcalf is an unbelievable
player. And we're not diminishing anything that DK Metcalf's doing, but it's just like, Key, you got more picks. Why'd you take him at three? Believe us, none of the rest of us would have picked him. He would have still been there for you later on in the show. All right, I'm going to try to clean this up here and get us back on track with a pick that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to take Nick Chubb. I get to draft fourth here, so I'm going with Nick Chubb as my pick. And listen, here's the thing. Nick Chubb is a guy that I still don't think gets enough credit in this league as maybe one of the best running backs that we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. You see him there, how he can be a bruiser. He can run all over the field and will be featured heavily once again in this Browns offense. It will be based around a lot of the run game. I think if you're looking for fantasy value, Nick Chubb is a great pick there. All right, as I said, we're going to continue with our fantasy draft throughout the show. And
see,
you're going to have to redeem yourself.
You didn't take Derrick Henry, though. You didn't take Derrick Henry, see?
I'm doing it based off of what's going to get me the most fantasy points. And Nick Chubb's going to probably have more opportunity from that standpoint.
And what's interesting is that all these other picks have been so outside the fantasy community. Matthew Berry would scoff.
Now he'd be laughing at us.
What? That's okay. That doesn't mean that he's right.
Adam, we're just regular people like making picks, just like everybody else. Remember, you can sign up, and it's free. Join the number one fantasy league on ESPN. Let's get to the reigning Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've welcomed the Tennessee Titans to town for a joint practice in Tampa Bay. Reports from the Bucs side of practice pointed to major struggles today, especially offensively. The Titans defense testing Brady. Some drops as well by receivers. Starters were making those drops, by the way. Made for a very frustrating day. So our Bucs reporter Jenna Lane was at that practice. Jenna, I mentioned some of the struggles. A lot of that came from your Twitter, that information. So give us the latest on what you saw today.
Yeah, Laura, there were a lot of struggles for this Bucs offense here today. And I asked Coach Bruce Arians about it. Are you concerned at all? Because I counted eight drops. And he told me, you know, if it was Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and any of those top guys, he said, no, not really. He's going to have to go back and look at the tape to see if some of these younger guys, maybe the spotlight is just too bright for them. But about eight drop passes. Also, quarterback Tom Brady threw two interceptions. But I got to say, it was a good thing that he stayed late on the field after practice because that gave us a chance to see what was really, for me, the highlight of the day. Brady was joined on the field with his son Jack, who's 13 years old, and he has been working as a ball boy last week and this week as well. So he's working as a ball boy with the Bucs this week, and Brady just gushed about his son and just how wonderful it's been to have him out here.
He listens pretty well, so I got to keep him hydrated out there, though. I'm trying to always make sure he's drinking, because it's so hot out here, you know, you lose a lot, and he doesn't think much, he's just running around. But then he gets home and he's wiped out, so trying to keep his fluids in him and get to watch. Probably hears a lot of words that he doesn't typically hear at his school, but that's being on the football field.
Now, in addition to asking Brady to sum up Jack's performance as a ball boy, which he told me he wasn't going to say too much because he didn't want to give his son a big head, I also asked him to compare Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, as a player and as a coach, because, of course, they won three Super Bowls together with the Patriots. And he told me of Vrabel, he says, you know, he's toned it down a little bit in his old age. He is less chattery. He's less rambunctious. He also called him a diva from when the two of them played together. So a lot of jokes there, even though it was a very tough practice, there's certainly a lot of jokes. And in all seriousness, he was very complimentary of Vrabel's defense. He said those guys confused him quite a bit in their secondary.
Yeah, really interesting. I'm trying to figure out, Jenna, how Vrabel could ever be a diva. And I wonder what Vrabel would say about Brady right now in his old age, if he's calmed down at all, because I bet he would say he hasn't. Thanks so much to Jenna Lane for joining us there. The Buccaneers offense surged in the second half of last season, ranking top two in the league in points per game, yards per game, and efficiency from weeks 10 through 17. Of course, that carried into the playoffs with a Super Bowl victory. But now the expectations for this offense, sky high, certainly, especially with all of their starters returning. So with the expectations in that realm, Keith, what do you think the biggest area of improvement needs to be for an offense that really already was excellent and won the Super Bowl?
Well, I think, Laura, when you look at it, the second half of the season, much like you mentioned, you talk about the efficiency, the scoring of points put on the board. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see a team that now doesn't have to worry about the offseason, getting together, helicopters flying over Brady practices. They're all together now. So whatever little bit that they didn't have in sync last year during this time, they'll pick up and they'll be able to do. You won't see Brady throwing the ball 50 times a game or holding up five fingers because he forgot something. That won't take place. And I think a lot of people don't realize that when you have new cast of characters joining you, the Leonard Fournettes, the Antonio Browns, the Gronkowskis, and other guys, they are not in sync. And now all of a sudden they're together at the start of the season. They won't be nearly as rusty as they were a year ago.
Well, listen, I know this is not going to come as any surprise to anyone on the set, but for me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got to get better at running the football. This was a team, they had a lot of new pieces come into the mix in kind of a flustered offseason. And down the stretch, they got better. But this is a team that only finished 25th in the league in rushing. And you're talking about a quarterback in Tom Brady who's 44 years old. Do you really want him to be slinging the ball all over the field without any semblance of balance on offense? I think if you can get a little bit more balance in that running game, you'll protect Tom Brady and you'll be able to wear out the opposing defense even more.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, a playoff Lenny. What, Key, what?
I was going to say, I think that is true about the running game. Leonard Fournette finally kind of settled in because at the beginning of the year, remember, they didn't know if it was Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette who they wanted to carry the ball. And then eventually, Leonard Fournette kind of stepped up and became almost like the every down back for them.
You know, D. Wood, Key just said exactly what I was going to say. So whatever, Key.
Oh, sorry, I read your notes.
You read my notes. Thanks, Key. All right, guys, let's get to some other news of today. We did hear that Deshaun Watson's lawyer spoke today. Adam, what more can you tell us about what was said?
Well, it's interesting. You heard his attorney come out and speak today. And essentially, the FBI investigation into allegations against both Watson and one of his accusers for extortion really has been going on since April. Watson has fully cooperated with all requests, including FBI months ago, which he was not required to do. And Rusty Harden today shared text messages from one of the accusers, which he claims states shows the accuser thanked Watson for his business and asked if he'd like to set up another session. And Harden claims that those texts directly contradicted the claims made by the accuser. So this was the latest chapter into a saga that continues to unfold in Houston. But Rusty Harden coming to the defense of his client, Deshaun Watson, and continuing to insist that Deshaun Watson has done nothing wrong, in the words of Rusty Harden.
All right, we'll continue to keep everybody updated on that situation with the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jamal Adams, big day yesterday, the highest paid safety now in the NFL. The Seahawks were able to get the deal done. It's a $70 million extension for 4 years, $38 million guaranteed. The legend, Chris Berman, chatted with Adams after he got paid. Listen to this.
Jamal Adams signs Seahawks 4-year extension. You're going to be here through your 20s.
Yes, sir.
Sound good?
Sounds great. Sounds great, man. I'm just so fortunate to be a part of such a unique organization. Great coaching staff, great fan base, great teammates. The next goal is to get to the championship and win it. That's our goal, man.
You've been at this the offseason in four and a half months. Were you worried that, or deep down, did you know we're going to get it done?
I knew it was going to get done.
How did you know that?
Faith. You know what I mean? My faith is very strong. And I knew what these guys believed in. I knew what I believed in. I knew where I wanted to be. And this is home. So it's officially home, you know, and it officially feels good.
Coming here last year, what did you notice about energy, the way they play defense? And you know, I assume you were a fan of the Legion of Boom.
Indeed, big fan. You know, what you see is what you get. Exactly what you see on TV, man. And the best thing for me, it's all about winning.
Well, now there'll be people in the building.
No doubt.
Well, you don't know what that sounds like.
No,
really,
it's
right?
A little different. It's a little different.
You're looking forward to, I mean, is that
absolutely. Just to take the mask off and to be around my teammates, to see everybody's faces and, you know, to engage, to build relationships, that's what it's about. And there's no better place to do it.
What do you get as, hey, this group can be, there's only one Legion of Boom,
right.
But do you feel,
right.
You got Bobby Wagner left.
Mm-hmm.
You ask him questions
yeah,
about those days?
Of course, of course. You know, we're always watching, you know, the old film and understanding what came before us. You know, we have a tremendous respect for those guys. And we have to put those guys in their own category, our own lane. We got our own, you know, mission that we're fighting. We're not trying to be like them. We're just trying to, you know, do the best we can and bring the energy, bring the flow back, the juice, the swagger, and, you know, bring back a little of the Legion of Boom, man, maybe part two.
Part two. What are we going to see out of you this year that's different?
I think just an overall, you know, just being healthy. You know what I mean? That's the main thing for me. Just being healthy, getting out there and doing what I do best. And that's making plays.
Yeah. Hey, sky's the limit here the next, well, 5 years.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes, sir.
You just had your first practice.
Yes.
How did it feel to be out here and do it?
Felt good, man. You know, I'm in shape. I was staying active, you know, obviously, throughout the process, keeping my mentals right, you know, studying, staying in the playbook. But just to get back here on the field and being around the energy, being around my teammates, laughing, joking, having fun, but, you know, getting down to the ball. And that's what I love to do, man, just get back on the field and doing what I do.
Well, you ignite your teammates. You're the igniter. Now, we're going to watch out because that leads to Boom.
Indeed.
Whether it's
indeed.
Part two or not. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
Glad you get smiles and have a great season.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Pro Bowler, now in Seattle, through his 20s. We know where to find him.
And we know where to find the best stuff right here on NFL Live because Boom bringing the heat there with a great interview. Jamal Adams may be listed as a safety, but last season he was all over the field for Seattle. In fact, a majority of his snaps actually came at linebacker, as you can see on the heat map there. That's a big reason he recorded a career-high 9.5 sacks. Now the Seahawks can continue to utilize their versatile defender for years to come. Big stuff for the Seahawks. It's time now for our Hotwire blind resume. And here's a look at two quarterbacks from last season who both scored 30-plus touchdowns through the air and on the ground and both put up 300-plus fantasy points. All right, any guesses as to who these guys are and which one you'd rather have on your fantasy team? Player A, player B. D. Wood, put you on the spot. Who do you think they are?
Let's see. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray.
Okay. Anybody else? Guesses? Adam?
Those are good guys.
Right, well, okay, so Adam agreed. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, I picked him.
Oh, okay, yeah, Key's chiming in now, too. Well, you guys were right. That's pretty huge. Let's do a little fantasy take your pick also. As Damian, after seeing those numbers that you just see there, which rushing quarterback would you rather have, Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson?
I'm going to take Lamar Jackson. You know, they're going to get their all-pro left tackle, Ronnie Staley, back this year. That should help solidify their offensive line. They drafted Rashad Bateman out of the University of Minnesota, which I think is going to be a huge get, although he's dealing with an injury right now. Sammy Watkins comes over from the Chiefs. So they're going to have some more weapons to go along with Hollywood Brown and company. So I like Lamar Jackson in this scenario.
All right, as we continue our fantasy football theme today, Key, you already told us how much you like DK Metcalf. Which rookie pass catcher would you rather have, Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts?
I would rather have Jamar Chase. I like Kyle Pitts, but then think about this for a minute, Laura. When you talk about a receiver pairing with his former quarterback out of college, they will put an emphasis on getting him the football because they want to prove to everybody it was the right pick. They didn't have to take an offensive lineman to protect Joe Burrow.
Adam, which second-year running back would you take, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or J.K. Dobbins?
I like both these running backs an awful lot. I think they're too young, ascending stars. But I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire because of the offense he plays in. And I think you see Gus Edwards take some of the goal line carries of J.K. Dobbins, whereas Edwards-Helaire should be the guy. And I remember last year in the fantasy marathon,
one Lewis Riddick to Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the first overall pick. So if he was good enough to go first overall, which is the equivalent of Key taking DK Metcalf at three this year, then he's good enough for me to pick him just over J.K. Dobbins.
Man, I will
I'm not even going to start on you, Adam. I'm going to leave you alone.
It actually already started, Key, so I'm sorry. And the good thing is we all started on you, Key. You can't do anything.
Well, Key, I believe that Laura pointed out that last year when we did this, if we're going to keep bringing up last year, that you did not even have DK Metcalf as a number one wide receiver.
Key.
That means that he proved something to me. And Laura, you probably start talking mess during the break.
I did.
Key, you know they got the receipts.
Key, you can't be coming on here and think we're not going to have receipts because we always will. And the reality
Key made that determination back half of the season.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, do what Field Yates tells you to do. Hey, we're doing our own fantasy football NFL live draft here. These are the first, we're just doing first 12 picks. This is what we've already got. You see, Adam took McCaffrey, Damian took Kamara. He took DK Metcalf. We're trying to move on. I took Nick Chubb. Adam, who are you taking at number 5 as we continue our draft?
I can't believe that all you guys left Dalvin Cook for me to pick here at number 5. Dalvin Cook, who in every fantasy draft is going number 2. Dalvin Cook, the guy that Key passed up for a wide receiver at number 3. Dalvin Cook is sitting there for me at number 5. I will happily take Dalvin Cook and make Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook my two running backs. Good luck beating my team, Key.
Hey, Adam, I really do feel like I'm stealing right now. I'm stealing with Aaron Jones. Basically, I drafted Alvin Kamara first, and then I drafted another clone of Alvin Kamara with Aaron Jones, brought back by the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, we talk about Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, but Aaron Jones is just that dude out there for the Green Bay Packers. Boy, I'm gonna eat good.
I'm gonna eat good
with these picks.
Since y'all claim I don't know what I'm doing, I'm taking Travis Kelce with the 7th pick in the draft. You know he's going to put up big numbers with Patrick Mahomes. All he's ever done is continue to play at a high level since he's entered the NFL. Now, Adam, you mad at that pick?
No,
you
Key,
didn't even
I like,
think
Key,
about it.
Key, it's about time you got a pick right. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like Travis Kelce. And I love DK Metcalf, too. Just not at number 3. That's all. I love DK Metcalf.
Well, also, Travis Kelce, are we drafting the Travis Kelce that shaved his beard or the other one? Because I can't deal with him without the beard. I'm going with Zeke Elliott with the 8th pick, guys. I love this pick because not only, I mean, D. Wood's talking about eating. Let Zeke eat. I think he's going to have an even bigger, more prolific role in this Cowboys offense. Everybody talking about Dak Prescott, rightfully so. But this offense revolves around Zeke. Whenever it's been at its best, that's been what's happened. And I think Zeke has something to prove this year, too, after a down year last season. Going with Zeke, we'll continue our draft a little later on. More opportunities for Adam to just continue to put the smackdown on everybody else. I think Adam's team's the best so far, but let us know on Twitter if you guys have any other thoughts. Joint practices continue around the NFL with the Packers welcoming the Jets today for the first of 2. And according to our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky, Aaron Rodgers and co. won the 2-minute drill against the Jets' number one defense with Rodgers hitting MVS for a 33-yard touchdown. Here's Rodgers, though, on his new frame of mind.
I don't want a farewell tour. I don't know what's going to happen after the season, but I'm going to enjoy it with the right perspective for sure. There is a lot of stuff to be gained from these type of practices. And I think, for me personally, the perspective through some of the work I've done in the off season and just trying to just be more joyful and happier is going to allow this season to be really special and memorable, I think.
Adam, as we were listening to that, something stuck out to you off the top. Key, I'm coming to you in a second.
You hear him talk about a farewell tour. He says he doesn't want that. Now, I don't know what the question was, so
we
it's hard to
that
say that for context, but he certainly is talking like a guy that's wistful. And if the season works out and he wants to stay, that'll be up to him. And if he wants to move on, that will be up to him. but he gets to call the shots where he wants to play in 2022.
They're telling me in my ear it was actually the middle of an answer. So it wasn't a question asked specifically about a farewell tour. That came out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth. Key, what do you think? This is a very zen Aaron Rodgers. What do you think about his perspective on this season?
Well, you know he's from Northern California, so he goes back up there and he just, you know, he's just relaxing and just taking everything nice and easy. The off season, it'll come and go. Now I get prepared for the season, see what I could do, and then I'll make the decision, like Adam said, at the end of the season. I think when you look at it, he did exactly what he wanted to do. He sent the message to the Green Bay Packers in their front office, and they're doing what he wants now. He's in full control, at least through the season. And as far as teammates go, they know Aaron Rodgers. When you're in a locker room with a guy, you understand exactly who he is, what makes him go, what makes him tick, and what will not make him tick. And I think they're okay with it because he's between the white lines with them. And it gives them an opportunity to go back to a third straight NFC Championship game and really have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it, and I think his teammates are.
You know, it's interesting because I think when you look at this year, Damian, the pressure is so immense. There's no other way to look at it, right? Because if they don't win the Super Bowl, then what was all this for? And there's got to be a feeling amongst these teammates that say he's not coming back another season. They restructure the contract to give him an out. He can go and go somewhere else. So when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's Super Bowl or bust, right, for them?
Absolutely. Did Aaron Rodgers forget how to play football? Like, we're talking about the 2020 league MVP who's in the same system, same cast of characters all coming back, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones. Like, this team is set and ready to get back after it again. And I know we had all of this discussion about Aaron Rodgers and whether he's going to be back in Green Bay or not. But guess what? He's in camp, he's there, and he's all about playing football. So as long as Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers have every bit of chance to get back to the Super Bowl than any other team in the NFC.
Yeah, they got to win that NFC Championship, though, this time around. Jordan Love dealt with a shoulder injury. Where are we on that, Adam, and his recovery?
They're going to be careful and smart with him. He's day-to-day, and they haven't ruled him out of the preseason game yet this weekend, but I would think that they're going to be smart with him and proceed with caution to determine whether or not he'll be able to play against the Jets. Now, the idea of this preseason with the Aaron Rodgers situation out there was to get Jordan Love as many reps as they could. So ideally, they'd like him playing against the Jets if possible, but they're not going to force him out there. He's not entirely comfortable with the shoulder injury he suffered last weekend.
Yeah, he impressed a lot of people when they got to see him in action. Probably did him a lot of favors having that time to learn with the team, play with the ones a little bit while Aaron Rodgers was out. New on NFL Live, we got to show you this because I tell you what, I think this is going to get a big rise out of Keyshawn Johnson. This from Paul Gutierrez, our reporter for the Raiders. This says, I can beat Jalen Ramsey. I can beat anybody in the NFL because he's one of the best. He beat me a couple times today, too. That's from Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfrow. You're looking at Hunter Renfrow. You're looking at him as he's saying it, Key. He's saying, if I can beat Jalen Ramsey, I can beat anybody in the NFL. A little bit of talking a little smack to Jalen Ramsey. What do you got?
Yeah, I think Hunter might want to go hunting instead because that's probably not a good idea in a regular season game. This dual practice preseason stuff, it's a good player in the slot. But when you get outside in them big boy numbers where Jalen Ramsey plays, it's a different level. Jalen Ramsey won't be covering Hunter Renfrow in the slot at all in a regular game. Not one bit.
Well, I mean, I will say this, Key. You know, receivers aren't usually lacking in confidence. So you got to give it to Hunter Renfrow. If he wants to talk, he can talk a little bit. D. Wood, you got?
Yeah, listen.
Laura, but you gotta pick your poison sometimes.
Key, listen, I hear what you're saying, but when these practices, guys don't want to be embarrassed by the other guys.
No, of course not.
They don't want to be embarrassed. And if Hunter Renfrow is giving Jalen Ramsey that smoke,
man, so, you know, there's probably day two of that dual practice tomorrow. We'll see who's matched up against who then.
I need to see the film, man.
All right, Keith, we'll get you the practice film from the dual practice there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back here on NFL Live, right in the middle of the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon. Look, this is the live count of teams being drafted. Over 1,300,000. Let's keep that number rising. Get in there. You can get ready for your fantasy season now just by downloading the ESPN Fantasy app, the number one app, and it's free. So here's where our fantasy football draft stands on NFL Live. You can see the picks there. Some of them smart, some of them not so smart. I think the smartest one so far is number three, DK Metcalf, picked by Keyshawn Johnson. Just kidding. Adam, you now get to draft the ninth player in the first 12 picks. Who are you going with?
Well, there's still a wide receiver still on the board that might be the number one wide receiver out there. Another player just left for me to pick at number nine,
wow.
Devontae Adams. Look at what he's projected to do this year. 323 fantasy points, first amongst wide receivers. You know that he is going to be back connecting with Aaron Rodgers, and that should make for some big-time fantasy numbers this season.
How is he still there?
Oops is right. I'm going with Calvin Ridley. How about that? Calvin Ridley had a breakout season last year, 90 receptions, over 1,300 yards. No Julio Jones. He moved on to the Tennessee Titans. He was targeted 143 times last year. He's going to be a monster with Matt Ryan this year. So give me Calvin Ridley.
Come on, Key. What we got?
No, I'm going to let you say it for me. You
well, I didn't know what it was.
What I got.
All
got
right, well,
DeAndre.
Now I see it.
I got DeAndre Hopkins. Is this a problem? No, it's not.
No, I like
one
this
of the
one.
Top 2 to 3 wide receivers in the National Football League. He's going to put up big-time numbers in that Arizona offense. All he's done his entire career is deliver. I don't see what the difference is why DK Metcalf can't get the same love, but
I mean,
that's just me.
Key, the thing there was that you picked DK Metcalf with the third overall pick. That's the whole thing. All right. I'm like ducking and diving over here because I think you guys are going to give me some crap for this one.
Look at you. You waited this long to pick Patrick Mahomes.
I'm picking Patrick Mahomes because I got the last pick in our draft today and nobody picked Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes is still out there. He's the best player in the NFL. I'm picking him. I don't care. It's my team. I want Patrick Mahomes. By the way, my team right now has Patrick Mahomes, Zeke Elliott, and Nick Chubb. It's a great team. I think those guys could win any game. Like, just put those three guys out there and see how they do.
Hey, you want to reconsider? You want to reconsider your 11th pick and go Hunter Renfrow over DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't want
any Hunter Renfrows on my team. I'm sorry, Adam. If that was the case, I'd pick you.
Wait.
You're a loss.
Adam is actually
your team would have bowled out.
Exceptional athlete, and he balls out on a regular basis. A lot of times, guys, when the NFL wants to make something an officiating priority, real heavy turn here as we continue on NFL Live, it's called heavily in the preseason. So this season, it's taunting. It's a 15-yard penalty for the first offense, expulsion from the game for a second offense. Plenty have been against this emphasis, saying it's just part of the game, but not Giants owner John Mara. Listen to this.
I mean, that's something we discuss every year in the competition committee. We get kind of sick and tired of the taunting that does go on from time to time on the field. We've tried to balance the sportsmanship with allowing the players to have fun, and there's always a fine line there, but none of us like to see that, and it's just a question of whether you can have rules that can be enforced and without taking the fun out of the game too. But nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. I know I certainly don't, and I think the rest of the members of the competition committee feel the same way too.
Now, well, D Wood, what do you think of what president and CEO of the Giants John Mara said there?
Listen, we can't even figure out what a catch is. And now you want to talk about this whole taunting and trying to take away fun from the guys. Football is the game of emotion. Things happen. Listen, that one play with the Indianapolis Colts, the man is basically dragging the whole defense for 15 yards. And you mean to tell me if I did that, that I wouldn't get up stomping and yelling and all that type of stuff? That's an awesome play when you do things like that. Listen, we don't need to be putting more on officiating. We need to give them less so we can have less errors for officiating crews. We don't need to be legislating emotion out of a game. You guys are getting me emotional here on NFL Live.
The table's shaking in here, Keith.
Yeah, I don't even know why this would even be an issue on the table. It's a waste of time, much like Damon is saying right there. A football is an emotional game. You get fired up. This is part of it. You talk trash to the other team. Think about when John Mara won those Super Bowl rings. You don't think when he was at those owner meetings, he was sipping that good wine and laughing at the other owners? Absolutely he was. Absolutely, 100%. It's always something. It just is in the National Football League, and it's ridiculous.
That's the president's version of taunting.
The only thing I would say, and I don't disagree with a lot of the things you're saying, is that when the league comes up with a rule that's going to be a point of emphasis during the season, it will go out of its way to enforce that penalty during the preseason to send a message. So if we're still seeing that call on a play like that in the regular season, bring back that energy, D-Wood. Bring it back at that time.
You know what, Adam?
But, Adam, they shouldn't even waste their time even discussing that, though. That's my point. Like, why are you even discussing that?
They felt right or wrong, they felt like last year it got a little out of control and there was a little bit too much of that in the game, and they want to take out some of it. Now, to me, taunting, it's a little bit like art. What's art? Well, you kind of know taunting when you see it, right? And that, to me, over the weekend, the Colts running back, that was not taunting.
Yeah.
Not in the regular season.
It wouldn't be. And I think we all agree. It wouldn't be called in the regular season that way anyway.
We hope not.
Right, good point. But they're emphasizing it now because it's the preseason and the games don't count. Let's bring back some of that energy going to break. You mean like taunt to the camera or something?
Oh, Key, about his picks.
Key, man, listen, all this Hunter Renfrow nonsense that you've been talking about, that man was giving Jalen Ramsey the smoke out there.
I need to see the film.
Why are you hating on Hunter Renfrow?
I need to see the film. That's all I'm saying.
I don't hate on that, man.
It's practice, man.
Shout out to Hunter Renfrow.
15-yard penalty on both of you for that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Adam, a couple news stories coming out of Bears camp today, starting with Tevin Jenkins. What can you tell us?
The former second-round draft pick had a back injury during camp. He had surgery today, and the Bears are hoping that he could be back at some point this season, but it's a young rookie tackle coming off back surgery. Mm. Their best hope right now would be November, and I say, D-Wood, and I see you shaking your head, chances are he's not going to play this season. And so the Chicago Bears obviously were left with a void. That explains why they signed Jason Peters over the weekend. And now this puts more strain on the offensive line. To lose Tevin Jenkins, a high draft pick, second-round pick, is a blow to that Bears offense. Justin Fields, then today, taken out of practice. They pulled back on him because he's been nursing a groin injury. The Bears, in the words of Matt Nagy, just want to be, quote-unquote, extremely conservative with the rookie QB. They don't think it's anything serious, but he was taken out of practice after they noticed that groin injury that was hindering his performance today.
Yeah, watching Justin Fields in preseason action had everybody buzzing with the way that he performed, but makes sense to take it easy on him as much as possible, especially if he has a chance to end up being the starter for this team. And when you think about that, you got to say, all right, well, then maybe Andy Dalton's not QB1 anymore, but Andy Dalton is still saying that Andy Dalton's QB1.
There's so much excitement with Justin, and it's deservedly so. I mean, he's a first-round pick, and do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. That's not my focus. I can't focus on all that right now. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time, and so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
I mean, the more I think about this, Keyshawn, what's Andy Dalton going to say? Like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't want to play. What do you think about what he's saying there, though?
You know, he's saying what he should say, like you say, Laura, but to say it's his time right now, Andy Dalton, I mean, Justin Fields can wait. I don't know if it's just that cut and dry. I think that not only the veteran players on that team could see how Justin Fields could electrify them, then he becomes the starter, the things that he's capable of doing. But what I would say about Andy Dalton without just completely dismissing him, I think if you get Andy Dalton of Cincinnati and not Andy Dalton of the Dallas Cowboys, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. The way that I look at winning Super Bowls, it's not about throwing for 6,000 yards. It's about being efficient, managing the game, having a decent run game behind you, some playmakers, and a lights-out defense. Just look at some of the last several Super Bowl winners. Those quarterbacks in those Super Bowl games, they didn't have Hall of Fame numbers in the postseason. They did everything in the regular season to get there in the postseason, and they were efficient and didn't make the necessary mistakes to cost them.
Low key, I love what he said.
Wow.
I do. Listen, he's like, look here, young fella. I know you the new toy in town. You the new shiny object, but I'm not a scrub, okay? Y'all need to put some respect on me and what I've done in my career. So, again, Andy Dalton gets up there. He's not going to – why would he hand it over? Why would he get on the podium and just – hand it over to the young fella. No,
but
that's not.
He would.
No.
Who should start week one then?
I think it's going to be the youngster.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the youngster because, listen, the next step in the process for me, I want to see him. I want to see what he looks like with the first team. Once he start getting first team reps, that's when you got to start getting. That's when you start getting scared a little bit.
Once the veteran players, Laura and Adam, start talking about the wow factor, and I said this several months ago when they drafted him and these conversations came up, I said it on our radio show, I said, once those veteran players start taking a liking to Justin Fields, Matt Nagy and company have to take a look at that and make a serious decision.
Okay, guys, time now for one more thing before we go. We previously showed you a little smack talk that Hunter Renfro had in the dual practice today, talking about Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey has responded, guys. He says, I can't believe that y'all believe half of the stuff people say for clicks. Y'all got to know at this point, do better than that. It's all love. I ain't going to pop. Just know I'm really the chosen one. Thank you, God. I'm just going to say this. I don't think he's really upset because Key is going to end up putting Renfro on his fantasy team. But listen, Key, maybe it's in his head a little bit. He's out here tweeting about it. I don't know.
Because he doesn't need that bad baggage on his back. He's making sure that y'all know he's the chosen one. And I get it. And that's why I don't believe that he's going. What did Renfro run? Some damn hitches? Come on, man. Stop.
Yeah. Well, but listen, I mean, this is the back and forth that we never knew we needed, Adam, between Hunter Renfro and Jalen Ramsey. Who saw this one coming?
Well, it's Jalen Ramsey. I wouldn't want to be challenging that guy. I wouldn't.
The best is that these two are going to have to potentially face off in some way, shape, or form down the road. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Sign up for fantasy football on ESPN.